Okay, time to begin our class. We're in the latter part of chapter 12, Revelation. It's been 2 weeks since we met because of our meeting last week. So we finished the first section, which is chapters 1 through what? 11. I heard somebody say it. I'm kind of hard of hearing, so... And chapters 1 through 11 deal with basically things that happen on the earth, the conflict between Satan and man. Whereas chapters 12 through 22 give us the bigger picture that's actually at the root of everything, and that's the battle between God and Satan. And of course, 21 and 22 are dealing with the ultimate victory. Because the theme of Revelation is what? God wins, okay? The theme of Revelation is victory. But there's also another word that runs through Revelation. For us to be victorious, we have to what? We have to overcome, right? If we don't overcome, then there is no victory. Now, as we get into chapters 12, 13, and 14, those chapters are concerning war between Satan and God. And we see these things as we get through this. Of course, chapter 12 is the woman and the child and the dragon. Chapter 13 are the two beasts, the beast of the sea, the beast of the land, and we'll talk about those. As we get into chapter 14... we come across these 144,000 again. As Jesus is standing with the 144,000, and we see judgment again beginning. And to me, as I read chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, it takes me back to the first half, because it helps me, okay, well, this is why this is happening over here. This is what this is talking about. And we'll go back and look at some of that as we get through here. I think in chapter 12, verse 17 is probably the key verse. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that's the New King James Version. So last time we talked about this radiant woman. Radiant because she's clothed with what? She's clothed with sun, okay? And she has a garland of 12 stars. Yes, you're right. She's clothed with the sun. She's standing on the moon. And she has this garland of 12 stars on her head. And she's with child, and she's about to give birth. It says she cried out with labor pains. But there's this great red, fiery red dragon. And he has 7 heads and 10 horns. And he has 7 diadems on his head, crowns, if you will. And with his tail, he drew a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the ground, to the earth. And this terrible dragon is standing in front of this woman who's ready to give birth to this male child. And he's standing in front of this woman because he's ready to what? He's ready to devour this child as soon as it's born. But the child is taken up into heaven and protected to God's throne and protected by God. Now we learn in verse 9 that this dragon is who? Satan, right? The devil himself. This male child that is to be born, according to verse 5, is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And who would this child be? Christ, Jesus, right? And in this vision, now remember, we're talking about visions here. Anything is possible in a vision. So this male child is born, and he's taken up into heaven to the throne of God. Well, what we're talking about there is we're talking about Christ coming to earth and living on earth in his death and his resurrection and his ascension, which was some 33 years. But in this vision, it's instantaneous. He's born, he's carried to God in heaven, to God's throne. So the woman we identified as the faithful of God from the beginning of time. The faithful of God because from the beginning of time, all of God's faithful are looking forward to what event? The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? After the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we look back on that because through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have salvation if we overcome. We have that victory. So, verses 7 through 9, the devil, Satan, the dragon, is angry. He's been unable to destroy this male child because he's been taken into heaven. And so there is a battle in heaven against God's forces and the devil and his forces. The devil isn't strong enough to win. So he's cast out of heaven along with his angels. And he's cast down to the earth. So this male child, this Christ, all the time that he was on the earth, what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to destroy him. Yeah, he's trying to destroy him. Herod, killing the babies, okay? He thought he had destroyed him when he was crucified on the cross, but he was resurrected from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And so the woman, we're told in verse 6, fled into the wilderness, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, where there was a place prepared for her, prepared by God. So what do we need to get out of that? Satan cannot win. Satan isn't strong enough to defeat God. God always wins. God always will win. Now, Summers, if you remember when Chuck was teaching this, he would give reference to Luke Summers, who is actually a Baptist. But he's written a pretty good book on Revelation, and he says that there were three campaigns when Satan tried to destroy Christ, when he was on the earth, but he failed to do so, when he fought against Michael and his angels and did not prevail, and by seeking to destroy the woman and her children, which we've determined would be the faithful. Not the church yet, because the church hasn't been established, right? Will become that as we go along. But that brings us to verse 10, which is actually where we left off 2 weeks ago. So in verse 10, there is rejoicing in heaven. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come." Salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Some versions say authority. "For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he only has a short time. So John hears this loud voice in heaven proclaiming now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. So when did salvation and authority and the power and the kingdom come? When Christ suffered and died on the cross and was resurrected, ascended back to heaven, the church was established, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority, power, has been given to me on heaven and earth, right? So Christ came to establish his kingdom. We know the church began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so the kingdom has come. Salvation came through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when it says now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, when did that come? When Christ died on the cross and was resurrected. So through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation and the kingdom was made possible. We see that. We understand that. It says, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. When you think about Satan accusing somebody before God, what comes to your mind? Job comes to mind, okay? Because you remember, Satan came before God and accused God of protecting Job and not letting Satan do things to shake Job's faith. So that just pops in my mind when I think about that. So we read last week John chapter 12, where Jesus says basically that Satan would be cast out when he died and was resurrected. We're not going to go back and read that today. But no longer can he accuse God's people, because Christ has redeemed them from what? From sin, right? And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, I'm just going to read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In verse 33 and 34 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 8. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So through death, Christ destroyed, in his resurrection, Christ destroyed the power that Satan had over death. We could go back, and we've already talked about this once, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. What would the seed of woman do? Yes, crush the head, bruise the head, right? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that through his death and his resurrection, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So no longer can Satan accuse God's people, because they've been redeemed. They've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is the testimony? The gospel? The word? Right? So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, three things. Through the shed blood of Christ, salvation has come. The word of their testimony, they stood firm upon the word of God regardless of the physical consequences, which might mean what? They may be put to death, right? So in the face of the possibility that they might have to die for their faith, they kept the faith. Pretty strong faith. Because they knew, and that's what this whole book is about, they knew that if they died for their faith, they had what? Eternal life waiting for them in heaven, right? So these Christians that are being persecuted so heavily, would this be a comfort to them? Absolutely. If we were being persecuted, would it be a comfort to us? Absolutely. Knowing that we have a home with God if we overcome. Overcoming means we have to overcome every obstacle. Sometimes those obstacles are small. Sometimes those obstacles are mountains. And they're hard to get over. But with faith in God and God's help, and each other's help, we overcome those obstacles. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Even in the face of death, they did not denounce Christ as their Lord and Savior. So therefore, it says, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. We overcome the same way, don't we? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, okay? We overcome by the word of His testimony, even if it means our death. Again, whatever obstacle gets in the way, we have to overcome them if we want to be victorious. But he says in verse 12, in the latter part of verse 12, rejoice, O heaven, in the first, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of what? The earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he only has a short time. So here's the devil, okay? He wanted to devour the child, and the child was taken up into heaven. Okay? So he turns his wrath on the woman. God carries the woman away and protects her. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. So he's very angry. He has war. He's cast out of heaven. His angels are cast out of heaven. So he's very angry. So he is out to destroy the woman. And then he fails at that. So then he's out to destroy the woman's offspring, you and I. So in verses 13 through 17, when Satan saw that he had been cast out of heaven, he couldn't hurt the child, he tried to persecute the woman, he couldn't hurt her because God gave her the wings of a great eagle so that she could fly into the wilderness. In other words, she could escape the devil. And we could go, if time permitted, to the Old Testament and see where in Exodus and Deuteronomy and even in Isaiah, when it talks about Babylon, Israel having wings to escape the destruction and this and that. So this woman is carried away. Satan sends a great flood of water to drown her. But what happens? Earth opens up and swallows the water. So at every point, what's happening with Satan? He's being defeated, right? He's not strong enough or wise enough or powerful enough to defeat God. God's always one step ahead of him. So he is so angry that he turns to make war with the offspring, the children of the woman. Now, these are the ones who are described as who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. So now we're talking about the church. We're talking about individual Christians. We're talking about you and I. So chapter 13, as we get to that, and we'll get to that in a minute. Chapter 13 describes how Satan is going to attack the church using the Roman Empire. He's unsuccessful in defeating Christ. He's unsuccessful in destroying the remnant. Now he turns his attention to destroying the church, those who keep the commandment of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. So what's the point of the chapter? It's a battle between God and Satan. He fights against Christ from his birth to his death and his resurrection. He's not victorious. He turns to fight against the faithful. He's not victorious. He's cast out of heaven. Now he turns to fight the church and the children of the church, and he's not going to be victorious in that either. So as we get into this second section, we get a better idea of the things that happened in the first section. And we'll talk about that probably next week. But I want you to think back when you read chapter 12, when you read chapter 13, I want you to think back of the opening of the seals and Jesus going forth. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But as we come to chapter 13, we have these two beasts, okay? And these two beasts are tools that are used by Satan. Before we get to that, let's answer our questions on chapter 12. Everybody has those, whatever. If you don't, they're pretty, if we've been studying and we followed along, we can pretty much answer them. So what sign first appeared in heaven? The woman, right? And we could talk about her being clothed with the sun and standing on the moon and the 12 stars in her wreath and what those might signify and what those might mean. And we might be right, we might not be right. But it would just be supposition of what some of those things might mean. Absolutely, we're to be light, right? She's standing on the moon. She's above the earth. We're to be above the world, right? I mean, we could talk about those things. Is that what it's talking about? I don't know. And if we get so involved in those kind of things, maybe we lose what the point of the story really is. So we haven't been talking about a lot of those things. She cried out because of why? She was in labor pain. She was going to have a child. So what other sign appeared in heaven? This great red fiery dragon. Now you picture this. Here's this big dragon. He's got 7 heads. He's got 10 horns. He is so powerful that he sweeps a third of the stars from heaven with his tail and casts them on the earth. Now, again, this is a vision. Anything's possible in a vision because we can't imagine that would happen. I don't know that the earth would be here if just one or two stars fell on the earth. Okay, so don't get caught up in that. But, okay, and so what did the being of the second sign seek to do in relation to the one revealed in the first sign? Devour the child, right? And what was a child born to the woman to do? Verse 5, rule the kingdoms and the nations with a rod of iron. And so this woman, where does she go? God protects her. Where does she go? It says she went into the wilderness, right? So she was there for protection from the dragon. And how long was she going to be there? 1260 days. Have we run across that before? 1260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, a time, times, and half a time. And they all refer to the same thing. And we'll talk about that more again next week. I don't want to get caught up in that either. But according to verse 7, what broke out in heaven? War. Who was involved? Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. And in verse 9, the devil is called what? The serpent of old, called devil and Satan. And what happened to him? He was cast out of heaven. So what, according to verse 10, had come? Salvation and strength, the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. And why did they come? because the devil was, he was cast down. He was defeated, right? So, how did people overcome the accuser? We talked about three ways. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their lives even to the death. So why did verse 12, did the devil have great wrath? And he failed, right? He failed. He's angry. He's always losing. Sometimes he wins with us, but we have to let him. He doesn't have power to make us do anything. He still loses. Exactly. Victory, that's what it's all about. Okay? And seeing he had been cast down to earth, what did the dragon do? He persecuted the woman, right? And so the woman was given what? Wings of an eagle. Okay. To flee from the wrath of Satan. So, verse 14, what did the serpent do? He tried to drown her with a flood of water, right? Not literal water. We'll talk about that some. So that she would be carried away. And who helped the woman? The earth, right? Who's really behind this? God, right? So it swallowed the flood of water. And with whom did the dragon now seek to make war? The rest of her offspring. Okay. All right. So, chapter 13, we have maybe about 10, 12 minutes. So, excuse me. Chapters 13 and 14 are a continuation of the war between God and Satan. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, they all fit pretty closely together. So, Satan is furious. He's not been successful. And so he uses whatever tools he can to try to destroy the offspring of the woman, individual Christians, you and I. So there are these two powerful tools that we see in chapter 13. There is the beast that comes from the sea in the first 10 verses. And then there's the beast that comes from the earth in verses 11 through 18. So these two beasts are allies of Satan. They're his tools. They are helping him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, and they play a large part pretty much in most of the remainder of the book. I think chapter 13, verse 18 is the key verse. It says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. We will talk about that a little bit, but we're not going to get real involved in it. We'll do that next week. So the first 10 verses talk about the beast from the sea. And in this vision, depending on what translation you have, John is standing on the seashore, or some of your translations may say the dragon is standing on the seashore. Either one, it really doesn't change, because John is seeing these things. He's writing these things down. And he sees this terrible beast rising out of the sea. Now, this terrible beast also has 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his heads, each head is written a blasphemous name. We don't know what that name is. We could guess. But he looked like a leopard. He had the feet like a bear. And he had a mouth like a lion. When we think about a leopard and we think about a bear, we think about a lion. They're all predators, right? They tear, they devour. So his power came from where? From the dragon, right? He got his power from the dragon. And so he was given a throne and he was given authority. And one of his heads looked like it had been mortally wounded and was healed. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later too, but we're not going to talk about it right now. So that may refer to the fact that he had lost some power. And we're talking about Rome here, right? He had lost some power, but that power had been regained. So we went to Daniel before. But let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And there's a reason for that, because it fits very closely with what Revelation talks about. In the first 8 verses of chapter 7, it's talking about the 4 kingdoms that were to come. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the 4th kingdom was the Roman Empire. And so Daniel wants, verses 15 through 21, he wants to know more about this 4th kingdom. So let's look down at verse 23 through 26. Then he said, "The fourth beast shall be the 4th kingdom upon earth." Now that would be the Roman Empire. "Which shall be diverse," or different, "from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns," where have we heard 10 horns before? On the devil and the beast that came out of the sea, right? "The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings." Now, when we get to chapter 17, it talks about those kind of things too, but of Revelation. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." We run across that before, time, times, and a half a time. "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Very similar to Revelation, isn't it? And these 4 beasts, these 4 kingdoms, are described as beasts that arise out of the sea. And when you think about that, verse 17, "These great beasts which are 4 are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever." So we see very similar what Daniel prophesied of thousands of years before the writing of Revelation. Why is it similar? Because God gave it to them through inspiration, right? So the 4th beast, in verses 22 through 26, is defeated and cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. So Satan is going to be destroyed. And we talk about the sea. This beast arose out of the sea. Well, what do you think the sea that this beast arose out of is? We talk about the sea of humanity, right? So this beast arose out of humanity. This beast arose out of society. He arose, okay? And so this beast fits the Roman Empire, which was the oppressing party of the day. And we said that we take the position that this was the later date. It's in 96 AD or around that. Then Domitian would have been the ruler. And his efforts were to stamp out Christianity. So that would definitely make him a tool of the devil, would it not? So he's the tool of Satan. He accepts worship. emperor worship. And he's a powerful ruler. He's a ruler over all nations and all tongues and all people. So this beast represents the ruling power of the day that was persecuting God's people. And anytime, now this is for these people, at this time and the persecution that they were suffering. But anytime there is a government who uses their power to hurt or destroy God's people, it fits into this. Now again, this is for these people, right? We don't want to take this as something that's going to happen thousands of years away. But you think about the fact that the Roman government oppressed God's people and tried to destroy God's people. But that's not the only time that's happened. You go back to the Spanish Inquisition. The Roman Catholic Church would burn you at the stake if you disagreed with them. The first settlers came to America because of what? Because of the Church of England and the persecution that they were going through. So any government who opposes God and who opposes God's people would fit into this category. And eventually, God is going to do what with that nation? He's going to judge it, right? He's going to destroy it. We talked earlier, several classes ago, about we asked the question, is God judging our nation today? So, at any point in history, or at this point in history rather, it would have been Rome and it would have been Domitian if we take the date of 96 as the date of the writing of the book. So verses 3 and 4, all the world marveled at this beast. Oh, look how wonderful he is. Look at the power he has. Nobody can defeat him. He's just wonderful. He's just marvelous. He is so great. And what did they do with the beast? They worshiped him. Okay? And so, who is like this beast? Could we make application to that today? Absolutely. Right? But who is able to make war against him and defeat him? But as we come to verses 5 through 8, he spoke great blasphemies against God and against God's tabernacle and against heaven. He blasphemed God. He blasphemed the name of God. He blasphemed heaven. He blasphemed everybody, everything. And verse 6, chapter 13, verse 6. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Well, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, we find that this ruler of the fourth kingdom, which would have been Rome, spoke great pompous words against God. Because Domitian declared himself as being God, the supreme God, Caesar is Lord, and he made people worship him. So you have this emperor worship, and we'll get to that next week when we get into the beast from the earth. So, verse 8, he was given authority by the dragon over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written what? In the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And again, his rule is for a limited time, 42 months, an incomplete and indefinite period of time. And we'll talk about that more. Verse 13, verse 10, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Who he who leads into captivity Rome will go into captivity, and who kills with a sword will be killed by the sword. In other words, Rome is going to fall. And we'll take up there next Wednesday night. Thank you for your attention.